Right, now it's time for this week's question of the week. Diana?
This week it's all about how to look good with a gecko.
My name is Luke McNeil, and my question is, it's often said that people resemble their pets or vice versa. Is this a phenomena that has been studied? Do people choose pets that resemble them, or is this a matter of us noticing when people do resemble their pets and forgetting when we see people who do not resemble their pets?
So, is it a matter of selective memory or selective image?
I'm Dr. Lance Workman. I'm a psychologist at Bath Spa University. Well, I think there are two reasons why pets look like their owners. The first reason is that we tend to buy pets, and dogs in particular, that fit in with our lifestyle. So if you're an active, robust person with lots of energy who likes to be outdoors a lot, then you may well buy a dog that is likewise full of energy. It's a bit like selecting a spouse. It'll work really well if you find someone who fits in with your lifestyle. That's the first reason. I think the second reason is a more subtle one, and that is that I think we're drawn to others that look a bit like ourselves. It's a bit of an old Freudian notion, but I think it does stand up to scrutiny. So at some sort of subconscious level, when we choose a pet, we're looking for something that in some way reflects ourselves. I think there's both of these reasons going on there. I think you begin to look for similarities rather than differences. So I think if we say, oh, here's Fred and here's Jack Russell, don't they look similar? You're already led along that path. There's something that some people call the confirmation bias. So, for example, if you go to a fortune teller and they say 6 things out of 20 that are correct, you go away and you remember those 6 things and you forget the other 14. And my own study suggests that people get this right about 2/3 of the time, maybe 60%, something like that. So there's a good 30 to 40% of the time they get wrong in matching pets up to their owners. So I think, we remember the ones we get right. But again, 2/3 is well above chance. So it's a mixture of some real truth in the idea that we look like our pets and the fact that we look for evidence that supports that case.
Diana, owner of 2 Rottweilers, and I'm just joking.
Oh, shut up. I know you own a weasel, don't you, Chris? Meow. So although we do tend to remember better those pets which resembled their owners, it looks like many pet buyers will tend to choose animals which look a little bit like they do. And in Lance's research, he tested this by showing 70 volunteers photos of dogs and dog owners and asked them to match one to the other. And 60% of the time, they got it right. I wonder if the same is true for cats, because they tend to be a bit more sort of homogenous in terms of shape, I think, possibly. Well, next week we'll be researching another sort of pet.
Hi, Naked Scientists. I'm Jan from Norwich, and I'm the captain of a large oil tanker. I have a question about pigeons. We often get flocks of wild and racing pigeons land on our decks, and they can stay for weeks until the crew have fattened them up for the pot, that is. My question is this. Does the steel in the structure of the ship, which is about 50,000 tonnes, affect the pigeons' navigation system? I have heard that they rely in part on the Earth's magnetic field.
Can migratory birds be pulled off course by large steel objects like Jan's 50,000 tonnes of steel tanker? Let us know what you think by email. It's chris@thenakedscientist.com, or write your answer on the forum for us to read out. And the forum is at thenakedscientist.com/forum.
And if you have any fancy pigeon-related recipes for Jan to take with him on his next set of travels, then you can send those in too. And interestingly, Diana, I've just seen pop up here, Amateur Scientist has just written into our Second Life site, but many pets are also given as gifts. So presumably, if what you're saying is true, then the person giving the gift must also think that the gift looks a bit like the presumptive new owner. Would you agree?
I think that's a bit presumptive of the gift giver, isn't it?
You can get your words together better than I can this evening. Thank you very much, Diana O'Carroll, with this week's question of the week. And you can get that again through our website as its own independent podcast on iTunes or at nakedscientist.com/QOTW. Well, that's it for this week. We have run out of time. Thank you for all your questions, thoughts and comments. Keep them coming in, do. It's chris@thenakedscientist.com, or follow us on Twitter @nakedscientists. Next week, we're back with a look at what happens when you blow things up. We've got an explosive bit of broadcasting for you, looking at the science of landmines and how we study them safely and how we build better vehicles that are more landmine resistant. We'll also be looking at how you study explosions safely in the laboratory and what happens when you blow stuff up underwater. If you've got any explosively oriented type questions, then do send them in. It's chris@thenakedscientist.com. Thank you to our wonderful production team, Ben Vowsler and Mira Senthilingam, and our other 2 wonderful team members, Dave Ansell and Diana O'Carroll. Until next time, goodbye!
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.